The text that calls for our attention this Lord's Day is from our gospel lesson for the day, particularly the part where Jesus prays for those who would believe by the words of the disciples that they might be one with him. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A man named Paul answers the phone one late afternoon to find out that his wife, the mother of his three young children, has been killed in a car accident. Paul hangs up the phone and instinctively runs next door to his best friend's house, collapses there on the middle of the living room floor, and mumbles time and time again, "Lori's dead. She's dead." Paul's best friend, Tom, was at a loss. What was he to do for his friend in this time of ultimate tragedy? What could he say? And so Tom simply joined Paul there on the floor and whispered into his ear softly, "I am praying for you." Yes, those words are one of the most comforting things that a Christian person can hear from their brother or sister in Christ in the midst of an unbearable situation. For those words indeed remind us that that person that is there with us is entrusting our unbearable situation to the Heavenly Father. And in so doing, that reminds us to do the same. For indeed, we must admit that any time a Christian prays, it is our admission before God that we cannot handle what is going on in our lives. Today, as you enter into God's house, with whatever is going on in your life, be comforted today. For Jesus, through our gospel lesson today, whispers into each one of our ears, "I am praying for you." Yes, the great high priest, Jesus himself, the one who stands in the presence of the Father continually, is praying for us. Yes, he is praying, our gospel lesson says, for all of those who will believe that he was sent from the Father. Yes, in a very real sense, we can say that he is praying for us as a congregation, as a community of his believers. Next week, as a congregation, we enter into a new period of our church's history as we begin to use the new hymnal we have purchased. And I know that some of you are very excited for that day to come. And others of you likely hope that this next week never passes. But as we enter into that transition, today there is good news. Jesus is praying for us as we make that transition. And what exactly is he praying for? Well, we know from the prayer he prayed in John chapter 17. He is praying that we all together would be one with another. He is praying that we would love each other and express that love in real ways that goes beyond empty words. He is praying that we would share the same love and unity that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit share in their relationship in the Godhead. Yes, Jesus is praying for us. And no doubt when Jesus prays, his prayers are heard and they are effective. Ultimately, his prayer for us is not just for our benefit. No, God reveals to us today in our gospel lesson that in fact, as the prayers are answered that Jesus prays for us, it has benefits for the entire world. It has benefits for all those that do not yet know the Lord as Savior. You see, if someone walks into this church in a couple weeks and finds after service half of the church huddled outside talking about the good old days, and the other half of the church talking about how we finally did something different, I can guarantee you that those people that see that will not want to become part of this community. For most people have plenty of conflict in their lives, and they're not looking for another place to war. And the fact that they might not come and be involved in this community is disturbing for more than one reason. First, it is disturbing because they won't join us. And we would love to have them here in our midst, in our community, as part of us. But even more disturbing is the fact that if they don't join a fellowship of Christian believers, if they don't have contact with them, they may not only not have fellowship with us, but with the Father Himself. For you see, God has chosen to use His people to be the ones who reach out to those that are lost, those that do not yet know Him. And indeed, it is through God's church, His church in this place, that He wants to reach out to anyone in our community that is not yet in Christ. But if we are warring, they will not come and join us. Indeed, when people come into this church, what they should see instead is the manifestation of the Holy Spirit dwelling in the midst of each of us. They indeed should see that each one of us who has been placed into Christ has been welcomed into the very unity and love that exists in the Godhead itself. Yes, indeed, we are to model the very relationship that the Father, the Son, and the Spirit have with one another in our dealings with each other. Just as the Father and the Spirit do not war with each other, so also we should not war. Just as the Son and the Spirit don't spend their time squabbling over details, but rather are focused on those things that is given to them to do, so also we should not squabble over details, but rather instead should focus on what has been given to us to do. And just as the Son and the Father indeed selflessly love one another, we also should be people who are loving one another with reckless abandon, loving one another with great humility and with abundant forgiveness. Yes, what a responsibility you and I have been given. The responsibility to display before the world what life in the Godhead is like. What life between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is like. Indeed, we are to be given as examples of what it looks like to be included in that life through baptism. We are to be examples of what it looks like to be set apart for God's purposes in the community of His people. For indeed, when people come into a church where people are truly united in purpose and in will, and where they are going out of their way to love one another, they will notice. For you see, people living together in true unity and true love is so foreign to the way that our world works that when it is set before someone's eyes, they notice. And when they notice, we will be privileged to reveal to them that indeed the very reason that we can live in unity and in love is not because we all agree about the details, but rather because the living Jesus is here among us. And when they understand that, then will Jesus' prayer be answered. Those people will know that Jesus indeed was sent from the Father, because they will have seen with their own eyes that indeed where Jesus is, there things that do not happen naturally as humans occur. There happens a love and a unity that can only be described as divine. Yes, Jesus prayed for us. And He continues to pray for us. And His prayers benefit us, and they benefit the world around. But no doubt he made clear that the primary purpose of him getting on his knees, when we see that recorded in the Gospel of John, was for our immediate benefit. Indeed, Jesus is praying for you. He is praying for us. He is praying for this congregation. He is praying for us as we begin to use the new hymnal. He's praying for us as we go about our business each and every day as his people in the places we live, work, and play. He's praying for us in our everyday life together as his people. And as we said before, when Jesus prays, his prayers are heard and they are effective. Indeed, as long as we don't get in the way of Jesus' work among us here, he has promised and will bring us into perfect unity and will give us love to share with one another. Indeed, as long as we get rid of our own desires, our own prejudices, our own pride, Jesus has promised to make us here in this place into a bold witness for him and his glory. Oh, if we don't want